Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, I have a feeling that if you gave me 10 sermons to read and only one of them was a David Maines message, after reading all 10, I would immediately know which one was yours.
I think, Dean, if you gave me 10 sermons and one of them was mine, I would know which one was mine, too.
I assume you would. What's the trademark stamp?
Well, I think facetiously there are certain things that you won't find in my sermons. You won't find spiritual jargon. That's something that I don't like at all, and I avoid it like the plague. I think that I would probably in most of my sermons reference the culture in some way, because I want to make sure the people listening to me know that I live in the same world they live in. Probably my sermons would be shorter than most sermons that people have heard. It wasn't always that way, but I've come to believe that people don't just come dying to hear me speak for 45 minutes, and if I can hold them for 20, I'm pleased. 25 maybe at the most. Maybe you'd say that's a main sermon because he uses more Shakespeare illustrations than other guys do, but I'm being facetious. I think that basically you would say that has a very clear subject. That's a main sermon because he makes sure early on that you know exactly what he's talking about, and that's very important to me. Secondly, you would probably say he pretty quickly got to the response he's calling for. So I know this is what he expects me to do as a result of hearing him preach this sermon. And then I would say pretty quickly into the sermon as well, you got not only the subject, the response, but the how-to. And that's where I try to spend most of my time. I'm not sure I've done it as well as I would have liked to all of my preaching career, but coming to the how-to, saying, okay, so you know now that it's important biblically and from this passage that you pray more, but if you don't know how to do that, let me tell you how to do that and give you some handles, because also there will be this factor of time. You're not going to learn this overnight. It's going to take a certain amount of time. Let me tell you what I think it would take. So those four questions, subject, response, how to, how long, those would be very characteristic, and I think you'd spot that almost immediately in my sermons. And then you would also find that once and probably twice, and I will call your attention to it when I get there, this is the key sentence involving the subject and the response that I'm talking about. So if you missed it, this is what I'm talking about if you got it, okay? That's going to be very characteristic of a main sermon, okay?
Could you say the same thing of other ministers that you've heard?
You know what, Dean? I think that all ministers, if you hear them enough, they begin to have a certain character to them. If you heard a Jesus sermon, say one of those sermons of the 10 was from Jesus, do you think you would be able to pick out which one he wrote?
Based upon the narrative in the Gospels of Jesus speaking, I think that you could pick it out.
You'd probably say, boy, he uses a lot of parables in there, you know. And he's very simple, and he's talking about things that people in the everyday world understand very well. Not only do they understand the agricultural illustrations, he's talking about the world they live in and so on. So I think I would be able to pick out a Jesus sermon. It doesn't mean necessarily that I should use a whole bunch of parables. That's Jesus' personality, but I do think you'd be able to say that's a Jesus message. Yeah. What about Peter Marshall? Do you remember Peter Marshall?
Yes. I was a small boy when Peter Marshall was in prominence, but I certainly have heard some of his sermons over the years and read the book that his wife wrote about him, A Man Called Peter, mm-hmm. Catherine Marshall's book.
Yes.
So have a sense of who he was, yes.
Yeah, and I think that even the way he wrote his notes, he didn't write them in paragraphs necessarily. He wrote them in strange ways, and how he spoke. But I think that I would be able to tell you that's a Peter Marshall sermon, because he was unique mm-hmm. in how he talked, and that was really terrific. Joel Osteen. Now, you take away his voice, take away how he looks and all that. If you just saw it on paper, do you think you'd be able to say, that's got to be a Joel Osteen sermon?
I think, yes, I think that would be evident. He has a definite rhythm to his delivery that is based upon the content. Mm-hmm. It's my personal belief that Joel memorizes his sermons. I think because he delivers them so flawlessly, mm-hmm. and he does it without looking at the notes, other than the notes in the notebook on the pulpit are almost a prop. Mm-hmm. He occasionally will turn a page, but I never see him look at it to pick up any cues at all. So I think he memorizes his sermons. I also don't see any sign of a teleprompter or anything like that. So I think he memorizes.
No, I can pretty well tell when somebody's working off a teleprompter. And I'm sure he doesn't do that. He's an excellent communicator. Francis Schaeffer, do you remember Francis Schaeffer?
Sure, absolutely.
You know, if you saw 10 of them and you'd say, you know, match sermon A with, and then you got 10 names over here, that's got to be a Francis Schaeffer sermon.
Yeah, I think that would be true. His sentences tended to be more complex, and when he was expressing deep truth, there was a rhythm to the way that he made a construct that he was trying mm-hmm. to share. I heard when I was in college in the mid-1960s, I heard a whole series of lectures that Schaeffer gave at LaBrie. Mm-hmm. And so I think having heard those and listened, his delivery was always relatively low key. He was certainly not a shouter in the way that he delivered, but
a lot of intensity as well.
There was an enormous amount of intensity.
And he certainly was intellectual. You know, just the material he was using, it was almost like a college lecture. But yeah, he had a certain style and distinctly Francis Schaeffer, yeah. Now, if you put his voice in there, immediately you know who he is because he had that high voice. Billy Graham. Billy Graham's preached an awful lot of sermons, and a lot of his sermons are in books. He would be harder in some ways to pick out, and yet at the same time, you're not going to get a Francis Schaeffer sermon from a Billy Graham, you know. And Billy Graham is nobody's dummy. He's an incredibly intelligent individual, but he has his own style.
Yeah, and I think again you could pick out the intentionality of the evangelistic thrust of Dr. Graham's message. Mm-hmm. So I think it would be identifiable.
Martin Luther King.
Yeah, I think if you mm-hmm. read one of his speeches, you would sense that. Again, he had a very detectable rhythm in his delivery, and even in the way that he constructed his paragraphs to lead toward to support the subject and lead toward the punchline that he was going to deliver.
Yeah, he was almost a wordsmith in a lot of ways. A wonderful use of language. And again, it sounds like, how in the world would you do that? But I'm naming different people, and we're saying, could we pick out a certain style that was his? T.D. Jakes.
I think, again, yes, I think that you could detect that. I think of it as a boat rocking kind of rhythm to his delivery.
A lot of with African American, you get a distinct rhythm. Mm-hmm. They know that word much more so than I would know the word. I don't have a rhythm to what I say, but everybody has their own aspect that they're working on. Now, where I'm heading with all of this is that I think over a period of time, people develop a certain personality to their sermonizing, and that's a good thing. In fact, you learn from different people. I think when I was first starting preaching, I stole Peter Marshall messages because I thought he was terrific. I didn't do them totally, but a lot of what I said was based on what I learned from Peter Marshall in terms of the books that I read. I thought if I could ever preach like that, that would be something. The worst thing I would want would be, say there are 10 names down there, and I, by hook or crook, get my name in there, and they say, that one's really bad. That has to be a David Main sermon. You know, or you don't...
Thank really you. Bad.
Huh? Well, you don't want that to happen. I don't want anybody, if I'm a pastor, to say, oh, that has to be my pastor's sermon because I can't follow it at all. You know, you would hope that people would be able to pick up over a period of time a style that is very helpful to them, and it's your style. And that's a wonderful thing that is going on, okay? I think that, again, the point that I'm making is that over time, you start to develop something and you take an ownership in it. And then people recognize that. And there's a sense in which you say, I will never be Francis Schaeffer. I will never be Dr. Billy Graham. I will never be Peter Marshall. But I am who I am, and I'm beginning to like who I am because I think I'm communicating well. And when that time comes, and I'm an old man now, I'm 75 years old now, but that time has come, and I'm going to go out. I'll speak to a group in California in another 2 weeks, and they will say, "That's good. That was a David Maines message." No, and we like him because he's who he is, as he is a part of Jesus' kingdom. And that's a good thing.
Indeed it is. We invite you to join us for our next podcast, and we invite you to visit our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We have resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. We invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.